A Story Publishing presents Signals in the Dark. The first surge of darkness swept up the Adriatic coast like a slow, silent tide, swallowing street lamps street by street. Bari had grown familiar with these nightly surrenders, cell phone beams prying open stairwells, scooter horns stuttering through black intersections. Yet each blackout still hushed the city, as if everyone paused to listen for an older rhythm under the concrete. Julia Baresi craved that rhythm. Barefoot on her apartment roof, she steadied a camping lantern against a chipped chimney pot and tapped her clip-on microphone 3 times, ritual clicks, hopeful and quiet. Far below, voices drifted up from Via Manzoni. Vendors haggled over batteries, kids dared each other to race down alleys blind. Normally the Adriatic was only 4 blocks east, kept tame by neon. Tonight, its briny breath pressed in, raw and wild. She shoved the violet lock of hair behind her ear and eyed her phone. The battery icon gleamed accusingly, a red slash, single digits left. It had to last through one more broadcast. Frayed linen fluttered against her legs. The sea smell prickled her skin. She exhaled, thumb hovering over her selfie cam. The earlier attempt glared at her, flawless, polished, fake. She deleted it, switched to video, and let her posture slacken. "Buonasera, raga," she started, her voice quick and musical the way her followers expected. Then she caught herself, exhaled again, and tried anew, lower this time, almost conspiratorial. "Ciao. It's Julia. No filters, no ring light, just Bari now, in the dark." She reached across the tiles for her mocha pot, its spent warmth ticking up through the handle as the last gas hissed away. The sound grounded her. Across the balustrade, a cat startled at her voice, yowling as it vanished down the open stairwell. Julia caught the moment, didn't flinch, let it spill into the mic. "Authenticity," she told herself, "or none at all." "Tell me what you're seeing," she coaxed, letting her Bari consonants tumble. "Is your blackout sky bruised purple or clean black? If your phone's alive, swap a story for some bars. Where are the lights still on? Modena? Palermo, how's Lecce doing tonight?" The city names landed in her mouth with weight, as if she were pinning them on a secret map. She almost dropped a hashtag, caught herself, then fished a faded supermarket receipt from her pocket, where she'd scribbled notes, the sting of diesel, the warm ash smell from an old pizza oven, the way a fishing net glinted, pink, under moonlight. She folded the receipt into a tiny paper boat and set it beside the lantern. Ritual against nerves. When her livestream icon winked green, she inhaled the salt wet air and let her voice slip with it. Sparse, but real, drawing Bari with sound. She painted the city's new contours. Somewhere, someone banging copper pots for morale, elderly neighbors below sharing half-remembered stories, improvising conversation because the TV had gone silent, a single cork drifting in a rain barrel on the roof next door, nudged around by the wind, insisting on compass points even when nothing else seemed to. Tonight, she resisted the urge to perform. The comments flickered in vertical bursts, but she ignored them, letting silence crackle through the feed as if it, too, deserved to breathe. 200 kilometers inland, Umbria slept behind heavier darkness. In a stone-walled kitchen, Luca Romano sliced a candle wick. The act precise, ritual born from years pruning unruly vines. The kitchen's heat clung to the tile, mixing with rosemary and the sweet, humid memory of grape must. He anchored the trimmed candle in a marmalade jar, struck a match, and cupped his hand against the flicker. The glow cast a loose halo around the room. He moved without hurry, measuring how much water filled the old well bucket, counting matches left in a saucer, inventorying every candle stub against the nights ahead. Small, methodical acts. The battery radio, perched beside his wife's chipped teapot, spat static. Its antenna quivered skyward, defiant. "Zio, light okay?" The girl's tap echoed on the table. 2 beats, their agreed code. Enough. Marta, 11, hair escaping its braid and looping under her satchel strap, sat just outside the candle's pool of light. Her face was intent, serious as only a child who's lost early can be. She hunched over a wide sheet of recycled paper, graphite scratching secrets into gray serpents. to anyone else, a jumble of lines, river bends, and hills. To Luca, it was the back of the farm, committed with a draftsman's eye, the way the old ridge feathered west, the memory of a Roman stone bridge half swallowed by weeds. He watched her hands move, fast and sure, building a geography no schoolbook had ever shown her. He dragged a second candle closer. Better? Marta nodded once. She didn't meet his eyes. Her world was the paper's pull. She shaded in a river, scrubbed a thumb to smudge its banks. When his nerves twitched, old habit, he reached into an old mug and sharpened another pencil, even though five already lay lined up, ready. Each by-the-book gesture was a wound covered over. He allowed himself to glance at his wife's photograph wedged into the tile. She was mid-laugh, cheeks wine red, arms smudged with earth. From the radio, a woman's voice, young, unmistakable Bari lilt, broke through the static. Luca's hand paused. Marta's pencil slowed just a hair. He turned up the volume. The voice spoke of rooftop darkness, a cork drifting in a barrel, the shape of wind crossing empty alleyways. Luca pictured her hunched near the Adriatic, live casting into the black, never knowing who, if anyone, listened. A clunky digital scroll ran beneath the voice, cutting through the nostalgia with bare practicality. Send power status, 1024 kilohertz, map data even better. A hunger for connection pricked Luca. He considered, thumb tracing the curve of the transmitter. Lines should never stay dormant, he thought. Data, like water, wanted a channel. Marta slid her completed map in front of him, lines sharper now. She'd drawn the far coast, a familiar harbor cropped to the edge, the sweep almost hauntingly like Bari. The water she'd shaded nearly midnight dark. A compass rose turned in the margin, its north point erased and redrawn three times. She tapped the paper twice, offer, not request. You want me to send this? Luca asked softly. She nodded, gaze steady and grave. He realized how rare it was, her asking anything for herself. All right. He dug out his mobile, battery at a cautious 32%, always on airplane mode to ration charge. He shot the photo, cropping it for clarity. The graphite world shimmered on the screen, lantern light ghosting over its ridges. He attached the photo on the wavering AM back channel, hesitated, and scrawled rough GPS coordinates chiseled from memory. For years, every blueprint he'd drawn, every bridge proposal had been about efficiency. Now, the simplest act carried risk. He pressed send, then kept the phone tight in his fist, as if warmth could guide the file through darkness. Marta, shoulders tight, watched. As the transmission indicator blipped confirmation, she let her hand drop, tension flickering out of her. Her lips parted as if to speak. No words found their way. On her rooftop, Julia's screen lit up, a new file, sender anonymous, Umbra 43. She opened it, holding the device within the lantern's glow. The map startled her. Not just the familiar Adriatic coastline, but shaded channels, faint interlaced lines veining into the Umbrian wilds. These weren't on Google Earth. She leaned closer, heartbeat stumbling. There was memory in the graphite strokes, as if someone had smuggled proof of an old story into her hands. She moved the phone away from the lantern to preserve battery, speaking before she could over-polish the thought. Okay, whoever you are, I see you. The words slipped into the live feed before she remembered she was still broadcasting. Other comments flickered. Generator hacks from Genoa, tales of disco balls repurposed as light diffusers, a grandmother in Palermo hawking pickled olives for spare batteries, but her world narrowed to the map's strange, insistent geometry. She hunted for connection points, mapping the unknown onto her own city's bones. She scribbled into her real-world notebook, a single line. Who else remembers the bones under the hills? Thunder threatened at sea, a fat, soundless pulse. The blackout had a texture nobody warned you about, like the damp inside your shoes after a field rain, or the sweep of a hand along cold limestone. A clamor erupted from below, a tangle of voices arguing in dialect about bicycle lights. Across the street, a goldfish bowl glimmered under moonlight in someone's window, the fish hanging, immobile, like a thought caught on the tip of a tongue. Julia took this city's 1,000 improvisations and let them knit together in her mind, steadier than the jolted grid. She returned to her streaming, gentler now. I'm holding a hand-drawn map, not satellite, not screenshot. Umbra 43, if that's you, tell me what I'm supposed to see here. What's hiding under these rivers? Her battery scraped 7%. She hunted for closing lines, found nothing better than the truth. Without ceremony, she signed off, closed the notebook, and snatched up the paper boat before it could skitter away. The moka pot, now cold, pressed steady against her palm. Thunder cracked, promising rain soon. She descended the tight spiral of concrete stairs, hand skimming the peeling paint. Plumbing ticked as though swallowing its first sip in hours. Before her eyes closed, the map floated in her mind, the lines in motion. Rest might not come. In Umbria, midnight pressed in. Luca snuffed 2 candles, letting Marta keep her 3rd for drawing. He filled a demijohn at the pump, water sloshing quietly, and jammed in a cork, watching it bob. Like a lifeboat, he thought, not meant to capsize. He let the radio whisper static, waiting for the woman's voice to return. None did. Marta finished shading her coast, added at the edge the word Bari, letters blocky and slow. She pointed at the radio, then the map, then outlined a heart with her finger. Keep the thread alive. He set a hand gently on her shoulder. She stiffened, but this time she let the touch last, countable in seconds, about, before she shrugged away and swept her papers into her satchel. They carried the lantern up creaking stairs. The hallway paused in front of a photo, his wife, arms plunged into a grape vat, laughter eternal. For a moment, flame and old glass conspired to make her part of the night again. Luca muttered his nightly good night to the photo, nudged Marta to her room, then circuit-checked every shutter. Not against thieves, who'd bother, but for wind that could shear vines in a heartbeat. Blanket to chin, body heavy, Luca's mind circled slow. The girl from Bari, her voice ironed with salt, still played in his ears. He wondered if trust tonight had grown too easy. But the alternative, a shrink-wrapped silence that left the farm shrinking too, felt colder. In the barn, a single solar yard lamp flickered to life, feeble but defiant, lighting a line of pruning shears strung like resting birds. Rain drummed, disguised in the drone of the radio, which crackled to life, capturing a stray phrase, half dream, half signal. Anyone out there still drawing maps? Gulls broke Julia's sleep before sunrise. Their calls, thin and impatient, scraped harder than any alarm. Pale dawn seeped through the shutters, strobing dust above the floor. Her phone, now slotted into a homemade dynamo, scooter alternator lashed to a borrowed pedal frame, crawled upward at 2% per hour. She rode out the strain, calves burning, as a new message blinked. Reply from Umbra 43. She kept pedaling, stretching out the anticipation, not yet peaking. Across the ridge in Umbria, Marta rinsed her brushes under a trickle from the kitchen tap. No pump yet, just what lingered in the pipes. Colors bled into her postcard sketch of hills, blue-washed river, ochre for olive groves. Each wash of paint said what her tongue would not. Luca, face marked by sleep, carried the demijohn to the well, pausing to trace an invisible arc in the air, a ghost of an aqueduct faint from an old textbook, one that logic told him never could have run here, but hope insisted otherwise. 3 mornings opened under 3 skies, the same question unspoken. What forgotten lines, buried, denied, nearly lost, might still run with water and with light, if someone only bothered to listen? The dynamo's copper coil gave a last petulant whine beneath Julia's sneakers. Her phone vibrated, a new voice note from Umbra 43. She let the pedal shutter down, breath catching, as dawn edged her apartment walls with uncertain blue. The audio was brief, rural edges fraying Luca's steady tenor, his voice echoing as if launched from the inside of a well. Foligno, tomorrow, noon, I'll wait under the broken departure board. Green scarf, bring the map, Marta wants to show you something herself. No sign off, no pleasantries, just coordinates disguised as a dare. Julia replayed it twice, heart climbing with every pause. Beneath his words, she heard a child's melody, pencil shavings brushing off a table, nerves and invitation bundled together. She showered in half-cold water, packed light, two changes of clothes, the weather-scuffed field recorder, the mocha pot, because comfort was measured in grams lately, paper boats flattened in her journal. She ruffled her hair, coaxed the violet streak into bolder shape, and stepped onto the street, leaving Bari before the city shook free of sleep. Bari Centrale's departure hall that morning felt bruised and half-resentful. Suitcases slouched beside worn pillars, timetable monitors dead, and chalkboards standing in for lost order. A janitor's cart propped up the real schedule, the day's northbound options scrawled in crumbling script. 0633, Frecciarossa 9520, Ancona Pizarro Foligno, Forse. Maybe. Nothing certain. At the platform kiosk, Julia found Hassan determined to conjure Fomart from adversity. His espresso machine, patched with copper wire, wavered with the station's shoddy backup current. He was all concentration, coaxing milk up to temperature on a battered camp stove. His station wore a proud sign, maybe best cappuccino in Puglia, price negotiable. She bought two, one for her, one for whoever trusted her enough to send coordinates at sunrise. Hassan scowled at the milk, gave the thermos a thorough shake. "Si taglia ogni volta," he grumbled, "keep splitting." His words were equal parts Casablanca and Trani as he nudged the milk with his spoon, tongue pressed in focus, until a lopsided leaf floated on top. "Almost," he sighed. Julia caught the moment on her phone. "Barista achieves latte art on an apocalypse grid. Hashtag resilience? Make it miracle. Charge double." Hassan deadpanned. Then softer, slipping her a sugar packet. "For the road, eh? Maybe sweet luck follows." A conductor's voice thundered down the concourse. "Foligno, track 7. Tickets old style, move, move." Money slid forward. Hassan nudged it back. "Bring me a real generator from Umbria next time. Then pay." She grinned, sprinted off, foam trembling atop the cups and paper boats rustling in her bag like moth wings. Carriage 3 reeked of summer sweat, sealed in vinyl. Every seat clung, gritty and sleepless. Julia wedged herself by the window, knees bunched tight, backpack crowding her feet. She balanced both cappuccini on the narrow tray, watching a woman across the aisle hum a lullaby to her wide-eyed child. Two rows behind, teens debated portable chargers crafted from gutted laptops. "Next surge, and we're back to candles," one muttered, the other holding up a solder-burned cable. They traded wisdom, salvage and adaptation, over and over. The conductor, face studied with sun-faded freckles, came down the aisle. She wielded her pliers like a priest wielding relics, punching paper tickets with rueful precision. "Digital's down. We ride on trust," she told Julia, scrawling Cortesia in blue on her pass. Julia, notebook open, collected these scenes. How the lullaby stayed in key, even when the lights stuttered, teen fingers, nimble as pickpockets, the conductor's wrist trembling slightly over Foligno. She checked her phone. The voice note still glimmered. "Green scarf. Noon." At every station, platform clocks blinked midnight, reality unstuck from the hour. She relied on sunlight, its progress measured against her window, the world outside blinking through orchards and empty sidings. Somewhere near Ancona, the train shuddered, brakes howling. Overhead racks spat bags into the aisle. Outside, a tangle of stalled grain wagons sat hunched on their rails. Staff waved orange flags in nervous semaphore. Word trickled forward. Somewhere up the line, a baggage carousel had seized and sent the delay backward through every schedule. Today, nothing spun as promised. "Of course," Julia muttered. The toddler echoed her cadence in pure delight. 47 extra minutes, noon now a chase. At Pissarro, she stepped out as the train breathed, phone raised for a signal. Hassan's message arrived, a battered generator in the background, his foam this time victorious, Rosetta perfectly drawn. "Debt canceled," he typed, beaming. She let herself smile, a piece of connection threaded through the day's static. On board, she rehearsed. Ciao? Too breezy. Signor Romano? Too stiff. In the end, her hand settled around the cooling cup, fingers practicing the ritual of offering. Foligno's station shimmered in the sunlight, pigeons nesting through broken tiles and dust curling beneath eaves. The departure board above track 2 sagged, and its digital clock fixed at a perpetual, unreadable hour. She arrived 12 minutes late, hustling up the underpass stairs, scanning the scattered crowd for a scrap of green. It wasn't quite green. Luca's scarf flashed the blue-green of copper weathered by age, looped loose around his sun-cracked neck. He stood tall, back set and a little wary, one hand keeping Marta close, the other tapping a rhythm against a cylinder that surely held a map. The duo's shared quiet marked them unmistakably. Their eyes met. Neither blinked. City smarts collided with rural symmetry, Julia's hair a flicker of violet, Marta's gaze all liquid caution. Silently, Julia offered the cup, a peace gesture. "For you," she said, breath catching. Got it before the foam gave up. Luca sniffed, lips quirking in surprise. "You run on caffeine, or on faith," he replied, voice unraveling its edges, warmer than expected. "I lost to gravity," she said, showing the sagged foam. "Luck, not art." Luca introduced Marta with a light touch. Her wave was two-fingered, deliberate. Julia caught the graphite dust on the girl's wrist, the ghost of sketches layered deep. Their hesitance, a seesaw ready to tip, was punctuated by the lights inside flickering, electricity's fragile promise. Julia broke the hold. "Municipal office in 20. I need deeds, water rights, anything mapping what's buried under this town." Luca's eyebrow flickered. "You believe in ghosts, or are you drawing them live?" She handed over a printed map. "Your niece drew coordinates I've dreamed since childhood. I'm not ahead of her. I'm trailing." Marta colored, retreating behind her pencil stub, but not out of sight. They moved, an off-balance triangle, down sun-bleached streets where the past flaked from every sign. The aroma of spent cigarettes lingered in alcoves. Diesel mingled with garden rosemary. Julia recorded everything, the trattoria named after Saint Rita, the Fiat's stripped shell, lines of laundry bridging alleys. The municipal office leaned against itself, a gate propped open by a legal treatise. Brick walls hoarded the heat of a departed century, and the air buzzed with mold and recalcitrant paperwork. Inside, every surface was crowded by forms and fluorescent bulbs that blinked in stuttering Morse. The first clerk was brisk, eyebrows sharp. "Offline systems. Fill out by hand. No guarantee." She gestured to the printers, stack-fed, wheezing, flanked by a battered generator. Julia scribbled, "Request for historical infrastructure. Request for special access. Signature." Each copy damp with carbon, her hand aching with repetition. Marta floated to a window ledge, overlaying new vellum atop her map, sketching peaks and valleys, silent as the linoleum. She drew a dotted arc, slid it under Julia's elbow. "You see that bend?" Julia whispered, rolling her tongue in awe. Romans avoided waste. Every meter meant water back then. Luca leaned in, his breath blending old coffee with the grassy hum of patience. "If what's under there's still true, it'll fit the turbine specs. 10 kilowatts, maybe hope enough for this century." Julia cracked half a grin, voice low. "Enough to pay off a barista's generator, at least." The second clerk burst past on a chair too big for the corridor, flung a stapler at a jammed printer. The generator coughed, lights faltered, and then the office plunged into hush. Outside, shutters clattered closed, more automatic than intentional, slicing out the daylight. For a hot moment, they were all just shadows in paper-wrought air. "Mi dispiace," the first clerk called over her shoulder. "No current, no records. Try domani. Forse." Julia whispered an artful string of Pugliese expletives, bite-sized and cathartic. Marta reached for Luca's hand. His grip steadied her, though his knuckles blanched. Together, they spilled onto the sun-struck pavement. The light outside was too clean, reality a little raw. So, Julia shaded her brow. Umbria's doors close early. Luca weighed the map, then gestured south, rail lines blurred by heat. Naples still runs at night, startups swimming in surplus amps. Julia nodded, memory shivering in her chest. Their server farms probably have backups of everything this office wishes it could lose. She'd watched her audience in Naples spike whenever the rest of the country dimmed. Marta tugged at Luca's sleeve, holding out a new postcard, an aqueduct painted in crayon and silver pen, bricks merging into circuit traces. Underneath, blocky letters, Andiamo Napoli. The verdict, wordless but loud. Well, Julia exhaled, a slow grin blooming, our vote's in. Luca let the decision settle, his shoulders slumping, for once, in relief. We take the 1820 regional through Rome. I have a cousin with more couches than sense. Julia broke into a laugh, rough and honest. I'll review his pizza, you pitch the investors, and Marta, she looked down, you keep mapping hope in all its unreasonable shapes. Marta answered with a shy thumbs up, pencil tucked behind her ear, like an antenna searching the horizon. They moved toward the station, three figures, stitched by evening light, the rails singing their promise near and far. Power lines overhead hummed low, cicadas rising to fill the bandwidth. Somewhere, in Bari, Hassan probably wrestled a foam swan from stubborn milk and grinned at his own quiet victory. Julia flicked on her recorder, let the crunch of gravel and the breath of her new companions thread into memory. Crossed signals, she murmured, voice hopeful and thin as the dusk, but we're tuning in now. No one corrected her. The train would wait. The 1820 limped away from Foligno as if the tracks themselves were doubting the road ahead. In the flickering train carriage, sickly bands of blue-white light pulsed overhead, throwing Julia's pale knuckles and Luca's sun-burnished hands into shifting relief. She squeezed into a seat across the table from Luca. Marta, intent on space, perched in the triangle of the window and the adjacent seat, feet tucked up as her sketchpad claimed its territory. For the record, Luca said, wedging his battered duffel beneath his feet, my antique phone holds 3 days of charge. No adapters, no complaints. Julia shot a grin, violet hair flaring as she tilted her head. Sure, but can you see anything on that screen? It's smaller than the basil leaf on your sandwiches. Marta's pencil barely paused. She sketched a zucchini beside a stubby phone, neatly labeled them both 3 days, and slid the doodle across the table. Luca snorted and tucked the scrap away with exaggerated secrecy, as if hiding dynamite from customs. The landscape dissolved into distance through grimy windows. They traded stories to fill the stops, Julia recalling influencer retreats where espresso arrived in fog, Luca spinning tales of monasteries rebuilt with stones numbered like secret codes. Marta, silent, let arches blossom beneath her pencil, shading ancient waterways that curled around Julia's words. Rome's Tiburtina station spat them out close to midnight. Generators thumped under steel beams, and the only light on the platform came from vending machines holding dead sodas and a taped-over card slot. Beside the blinking timetable, a wiry street performer in a silver tracksuit juggled three disconnected charging cables, adapters bobbing like limp blooms. Each time a cable slipped, he muttered, "Maledizione," scooped it up, and began again. When Marta approached and handed him a watercolor postcard, he bowed low enough for his breath to fog the tiles. The last southbound regional to Naples was half empty, smelling of old crisps and putty. Julia's stomach growled. She silenced it with the last remnant of a cornetto unearthed from her bag, offering the sticky end to anyone who dared. Luca waved it off, but cracked a handful of walnuts for Marta, shells littering his palm like small victories. Everyone else was already asleep or pretending, rocked by the uneven lull of the tracks. Somewhere beyond Caserta, Julia's thoughts drifted with the dark. Notifications trembled across her phone, her Foligno stream pulling in viewers as the rails blurred past. She laced her fingers around the device, but resisted refreshing the numbers, focusing instead on the black curve of the countryside and Marta's steady looping gestures. Napoli Centrale, 347. The city's humidity wrapped around them at the taxi rank, exhaust and sea salt tangled in the air. Neon from a kebab stand smeared rainbows over puddles. Matteo, barrel-chested and beaming, flagged them down from his boxy, bruised Fiat Multipla. Sotto il Vesuvio stonate, he sang, loading bags with a drummer's rhythm. Don't expect miracles. Most of the roof keeps dry, but if it rains inside, offer wine. Matteo's third-floor walk-up sat above a locksmith's, the stairwell thick with old frying oil. Beds were patchwork, one futon with Protestant springs, two mattresses, and nowhere for modesty. Trumpet mutes and coffee mugs outnumbered towels. Julia claimed the futon with an aching groan. Luca and Marta lined up shoulder to shoulder on adjoining mats, under a fern that dusted each breath with crumbs of soil. No one complained. Dinner fell to memory, replaced by sleep as distant scooters whined the day awake. Dawn crawled over Napoli grudgingly. By 9, Matteo was gone to rehearsals, instruments and sheet music in his wake. The trio rotated through a screaming hot shower, passing a single towel like a scepter. They followed the scent of citrus to the portside tech cluster. A former lemon warehouse had grown a glass skin, olive oil tasting, NFT roundtable, drones and dairy, scrawled in bold along a battered chalkboard. A blue whale mural soared above the entrance, tail pixelated with broken smartphone glass, each shard a tiny screen. The sea, uninvited, seemed to press right against the bricks. Inside, daylight refracted from resin floors and brick arches. The air buzzed with the tang of fresh-pressed oil, espresso, and barely cooled laptops. Charging stations crowded beside meeting pods. Julia's visitor badge emerged with a stubborn grind, G. Baresi, field recorder Storycraft. Luca's read simply, legacy infrastructure consultant. Marta's tag, blank, yielded to her quick red aqueduct sketch, a silent signature. A pace behind the reception desk, Rosa found them. Her hair, a halo of fiery curls, bounced with her stride. A piercing shaped like Vesuvius winked in her nostril. You're the map story, she beamed, voice quick and musical, switching from Neapolitan to English in a blink. I'm Rosa XR, AR, too much caffeine, loved your clip, and you caught my whale mural. The barrio claims half credit, but the whale's belly is all me. Come on. She led them into a thicket of open-source printers and soap bubble flight cages. Startup teams, badge-wielding and bright-eyed, tested propellers in rainbow foam and haggled about blockchain over plates of crusty bread drenched in olive oil. At the mezzanine under the skylight, canvases and drone shells lounged half-finished. Rosa's mural, Maradona in blue-glow paint, wreathed in figs, anchored the wall. My nana says Diego still runs the defense here, Rosa explained, a little reverent, a little clowning. Rosa gestured to Marta's roll. May I? Marta handed over her tube of maps without a word. Rosa flicked open a sensor-rigged tablet and began scanning the drawings. Each chirp reflected as a pulse of violet on Marta's face. Julia made room, laying the morning's newspaper over a stool so Marta could see. Luca hovered, hands half-balled, not sure if he was needed or in the way. When the last image uploaded, Rosa flared her hands in midair. The lights above dimmed, and a web of blue lines spun out across the ceiling. Arches, keystones, a spectral aqueduct, brickwork and channel mapped out in shimmering cyan. The room stilled. Even a passing intern froze, goggles perched askew. Julia, always recording, found herself lowering the phone. The hush was the story now. Luca reached absently for the ghost of a slide rule in his pocket. Marta stretched her palm upward, fingers splayed so the blue light webbed across her skin. Every joint drawn true, Rosa murmured, awe threading her voice. This kid's channeling ghosts. ARs never mapped these bends. For a heartbeat, nothing moved. Julia's breath snagged, this instant, fragile, hers if she chose. The hologram shimmered, then condensed, water sluicing along an impossible gutter between the beams, so real she thought she could hear it. The spell broke. Conversation flooded back, arguments swirling about use cases, patents, routes. Rosa blinked and laughed shakily. You just redrew the city's throat, Piccola. People still think thirst is normal. Julia's thumb hovered over upload. She saw in her mind the cappuccino swirl in Bari, Luca's battered scarf, Marta's pencil-smudged fingers. Her phone's battery, judge and executioner, flashed at 9%. She pressed post. Numbers leaped, thousands, then tens of thousands. Is this real? Napoli AR, by rights. Comments poured in, outpacing her pulse. 12,000, 19. The screen grew hot. At 20,200, it went black. Battery gone, no chance to shape the avalanche she'd summoned. She caught her own reflection in the blank screen, hopeful, guilty, a flicker of something close to pride. Across the mezzanine, Luca was cornered by two men dressed in sporting pastel blazers. They pressed laminated folders, heritage utility tokens, your legacy, our liquidity. Their vowels were polished, their smiles practiced. Marta inched toward Julia, shoulders hunched. Rosa sidled back with a power bank shaped like a mandolin. Careful of the financiers, slick with cologne and empty promises. Here, girl, only half full, but half's a better risk. Gratitude flicked through Julia. The phone reanimated, instantly swamped in notifications. She muted the lot, retreating to her own flicker of quiet. Lunch was scavenged from a makeshift canteen in the sunlit loading bay, torn bread drenched in fantastically green oil, olives the size of marbles, a sommelier in vintage sneakers dictating tasting notes. Calabria, smoke, Molise, stone, thyme. Marta made concentric flavor charts on napkins, dipping each wedge with the focus of a theologian. Julia tried a live audio review. Halfway in, her phone blinked to black. Battery again. She tapped her mic three times, ritual against failure. Static answered. By late afternoon, they'd sieged a corner of beanbags, project printouts spreading between them. Rosa layered blueprints and AR overlays, while Luca annotated dimensions with ever-sharper pencil points. Julia kneaded the knot from her neck, scrolling articles about Campania's water crisis, each headline landing heavy. From the hallway came chaos. An errant drone demo crashed a rival's table, scattering pouches of sea salt everywhere. The air shifted, lime replacing ozone, and brief laughter crackled. Glimpsed through glass, the juggler from Tiburtina was passing cables to kids, grinning with missing teeth. Marta offered him a salute, more solvent now than at any moment since Foligno. The high windows dimmed as dusk crept in. The hub's amber lights softened the sharp corners. Rosa gathered her tablets. I'll tweak the model overnight, drop in density figures, refine the AR. You three, go eat. Try Pizzeria Sanità, ask for Peppino, so you're not just sampling oil and sleeplessness. They thanked her, packed their clutter, and headed into the warm Naples night. The air sizzled with fried anchovies and exhaust. Somewhere, bells tried to strike the hour, but Julia's watch said they'd already lost half the evening. Halfway back to Matteo's, Julia's phone vibrated. A voicemail, number masked. She fell behind, thumbed in an earbud. Signorina Baresi, a velvet voice purred, dialect polished but cool. I represent parties invested in Italian continuity, legacy opportunities and infrastructure, let's say. Your little holographic spectacle made an impression. Exclusivity is always the civil way. Call before midnight, and perhaps you steer the current. Delay, and perhaps the current steers you. The voice cut off, final click like a glove snapped tight. Julia's heart skipped, the night pressed close. Up ahead, Luca swung Marta's satchel, lost in their own conversation, unaware. She pressed the phone to her chest, battery trembling at a single red slice. One call, she could rewrite her life, or lose it sideways. Her steps slowed, then steadied. Napoli's night air, thick with threat and invitation, scratched her lungs clean. Luca waited, head tipped in silent question. Marta grinned, her hand holding out Julia's badge with its makeshift aqueduct. The city hummed, uncertain, alive. Julia exhaled, the message burning a hole in her pocket, and moved forward. Not ready, not sure, but part of this path now wherever it split. Behind her, in the wake of streetlights and cables, a choice pulsed, waiting for her touch. Night clung tight to the narrow vicolo when Julia caught up with the others. The street lamp above her stuttered once, flickered, then died. Only the far glow from the waterfront lingered, smearing bronze over slick cobbles. Luca strode half a block ahead, his gait sure despite the late hour, Marta tucked to his side, silent and small under her swollen satchel. Julia slipped her dying phone into her jacket, feeling the pulse of its last red pixel, a heartbeat and a threat. That velvet-voiced message from the lobbyist still haunted her, the words heavy with cigar smoke and promises she couldn't trust. She almost called back. Almost. Instead, she jogged forward, feigning breathlessness. "Sorry," she said, making a show of tightening her laces. "Matteo's sofa is probably missing us, yeah?" Luca halted just long enough to meet her eyes. "Sofa's still standing, but shorter than you remembered. I can fold up." Her tone was light, a shade forced. Marta looked up with eyes big and uncertain, searching for something she didn't know how to ask. Julia offered a wink, her own attempt at reassurance. Sleep came in broken patches. Thunder rumbled in off the bay, moped skittered below the window, and every shift on the mothball futon brought a brush of soggy fern against Julia's cheek. By the gray suggestion of dawn, Matteo thrust Cornetti and a battered mocha in their direction, declaring himself broke but proud. They left a round of half-hearted jokes and hugs in place of rent, and slipped out before the gathering clouds resolved themselves into day. A regional train, seats tacky, windows smeared, pulled them north. Lazio's planes blurred in curtains of rain, the sky boiling a blue-black bruise across the horizon. The conductor, old and operatic in his delivery, warned that storms were swallowing the high-speed line. Change at Attigliano. After, he shrugged, pure luck. Pure luck tasted like lukewarm machine coffee and half-melted Kinder bars, the vending machine's digital clock twitching between fantasy dates. Rain hammered the roof above, drumming a jittery pulse overhead. Julia's phone gave up for good at the first town. Luca's relic of a handset soldiered on, somehow eternal. At Attigliano, they missed the shuttle by 9 minutes. Marta pointed at the faded schedule, her lips pursed in theatrical despair. Luca muttered something about bureaucratic hell, then shouldered his tired duffel. "We walk," he decided. Julia grimaced at her shoes. "Walk where exactly?" "Along the ridge. The old farm road traces the vines to the Ponte delle Ombre. From there, a couple hours to the house." He said it flat, as if distance wasn't a thing to measure, just to cross. She glanced at the boiling sky. The ridge was just a smudge, rising, menacing, under the clouds. "You owe me an umbrella. I'll owe you two." His smile flickered, edges softening for a breath. They set out under the rattling awning, mud welcoming them before the lights of Attigliano had vanished. Rain thickened at once, warm at first, then slicing cold, scented with fennel and the ghost of crushed grapes. The road was mostly puddles and kind of regret. Every step sucked at their shoes, chafed at their patience. Marta trailed between them, head lowered, boots gurgling in rhythm. She kept her complaints locked in her jaw. Twice, Julia's stomach rumbled. Luca, without a word, passed her two walnuts from a cloth pouch. She cracked one against her teeth, grit and all, wincing as the flavor lanced between sweet and bitter. "Sell a few hectares," she muttered, low, as the wind eased. "Upgrade the place. Drainage, solar, better than watching it rot." Luca's eyes stayed fixed on the line of weed-choked ballast that marked their path. "Sense," he said, "doesn't guarantee solvency." "You're in debt, aren't you?" It was barely more than a question, but it landed sharp. Developers circle your valley like hawks. They win, you lose everything your wife grew. His shoulders tensed under the rain. Old muscle, old grief. "I know the numbers," he snapped. "You think memory's collateral at the bank? Nostalgia doesn't ferment wine. Vines won't fill a fridge or raise a girl. Marta stopped dead, the thunder of her silence more cutting than the rain. She hugged herself, arms a small armor, eyes darting between them. Julia pressed on, voice softer now. Do you know what they'll do, these buyers? Solar fields stretching where kids used to pick wild strawberries, high-tension lines, your hills bulldozed for convenience. He stopped, just enough for Marta to nearly collide with him. And you think I forget what this place is? His finger stabbed at the slope, where rain carved paths down failing terraces. Every stone's got her echo on it. Then why answer their calls? Julia demanded, footing slipping in the muck. His answer, when it came, jittered with exhaustion, because one day the calls outnumber the harvest. I can't gamble Marta's life on weather. Marta's breath came fast, chin lifted high, a barricade of will. Lightning splayed itself across the fields, bleaching shadows, collapsing them into a single moment. Above them, thunder crashed, water suddenly louder, heavier. Mud pulled at Julia's steps. She bent over with a cramped calf, massaging the ache, the taste of rust filling her mouth. Blood or stormwater, she couldn't decide. The path funneled them to a narrow causeway of Roman blocks, Ponte delle Ombre. Moss smeared the stone, slick and treacherous underfoot. Water roared beneath, turned brown and wild from the surge of upstream rain. Luca halted with his boots inches from the edge, rain sluicing off his brow. Careful now, he called. The wind snatched the rest away. Julia edged forward, arms out. Her backpack banged her spine, recorder case swinging. Marta hovered behind, narrowed eyes fixed on the far end, where a shadow flickered beside a dark sedan. Headlamps off, engine alive, a gold dome light bleeding out. She squinted, then recognized the silhouette as the lobbyist, dry as old money under his umbrella. Shoes shined. Smiling, even in the storm's teeth. Julia's jaw tightened, pulse suddenly present in her ears. The man was waiting. His earlier words replayed copyrights, exclusivity, veiled threats. Luca caught her stiffness. Friend, he asked, just loud enough. Not tonight, she replied, voice thinned by cold. The lobbyist's voice boomed over the rushing water. Signorina Baresi, weather for ducks, not legends. My offer stands, come out of the rain, hear me out. Luca's fists jammed into his pockets. He's come a long way to poach a dying stream, he muttered. The rain redoubled, rivulets crawling down Julia's neck, freezing her thoughts. Need, hunger, fear, all crowded in, unpaid bari rent, the dopamine pull of likes, the easy math of cash. For a heartbeat, the possibility felt warm, a way out. But when she glanced at Luca, at Marta's knotted shoulders, all she saw was what might be lost. The lobbyist advanced a single elegant step. Exclusivity, my dear, a civil arrangement for a new age. Sign before the world tunes in. They'll follow your current, or you'll follow theirs. His umbrella gleamed, a shield against consequence. Julia didn't move. Water drummed on her scalp, viscous and cold. Marta blinked, lips pressed bloodless, fingers white on her sketch folio. Then, she stepped forward on the bridge, swallow audible even through the storm. Her curls clung, her face paler than moonlight. She drew in air, fists balled so tight her nails bit red. Non, vendere. The words burst, halting, torn raw from unused cords. The rain dulled, the river hissed, the world itself caught mid-breath. Non vendere, she said again, louder. Eh. Ours. The echo rippled across stone and water, through thunder, new, fragile, undeniable. One child's voice against the machine. Luca dropped to his knees in the mud, arms open. Marta folded into him, face pressed tight to his rain-soaked jacket. His hands shook as they tangled briefly in her hair. Julia blinked back whatever stung behind her eyes, jaw clenched so hard she chewed through her own panic. She turned to the lobbyist, lifted her chin, met the bored cruelty in his gaze. She shook her head, once. The brief flash of disappointment could have been nothing. He turned, umbrella snapping closed, shoes splashing. The sedan rolled backward, headlights sweeping over rain and stone, then melting into dark. The world breathed out. Rain gentled. Julia unclipped her thermos, passing it to Marta with a half smile. Marta sipped, shuddered, passed it to Luca. He drank, coughing, then managed a choked laugh, half sob, half gratitude. Julia took the last. Coffee grounds clung to her tongue. "Remind me never to let Matteo pack for picnics," she croaked. "Best I've had in a storm," Luca replied. He pulled off his battered scarf, wrapped it round Marta's shoulders. Hesitated before he squeezed Julia's arm, a silent thank you or apology, maybe both. She dug in her pocket for paper, found only a crumpled envelope from the power bank receipt. Water traced the lines as she sketched quickly. The bridge, the ridge, the cut of the tracks, a jagged arrow leaping to Rome. Marta leaned in, adding elevations, and for the first time her initials, blocky, uncertain, on the margin. Luca squinted at the lines. "We keep moving," he said. "Rome, then the archives. We catch the freight in Terni, steal a few hours' sleep on the train." Boots squelched, socks cold, ankles sore. They started on, Marta tucked tight between them. The night ironed itself thin as the storm spent its fury. Water rushed beneath the bridge, old, ceaseless, made for carrying both memory and need. Behind them, stones glistened, slick, silvered, their purpose unchanged, outliving all profit and threat. Ahead, the dark unspooled into the faintest glimmer, the kind that makes the next step possible. Rome waited, archives and alarms, red tape and risk. But for now, the only thing that mattered was this sodden, imperfect trio, three heartbeats, one voice newly found, and the chance, however uncertain, to claim something as their own. Night had barely faded when the freight lurched into Rome's San Lorenzo yard, its brakes screaming a warning louder than any morning bell. The three of them, Julia, Luca, Marta, spilled onto the gravel, stiff and stinking of tar, eyes grainy from sleep snatched between cargo crates. Marta roused wordlessly beside Julia, curls snagged with static, while Luca strapped his battered duffel across his back and surveyed the city like he was bracing for a fight. Rome greeted them with uncertainty. Diesel fumes tainted the air, coffee smoke tangled with exhaust, and a thin drizzle turned every sidewalk slick and gray. Street lamps along the avenues flickered, the city's pulse now tethered to the stubborn hum of distant generators. Somewhere a police siren wove in and out, warbling as if it guessed trouble was already on their trail. They hiked south before anyone could question their presence, Luca's step quicker than weary should have allowed. He led them away from the clamor of the main roads, through back lanes where puddles reflected crumbling cornices and the sun struggled to punch through low, churning cloud. By the time they reached the hulking shadow of the Archivio di Stato, traffic noises faded to the hush of their own footfalls on wet marble. The archives loomed, part mausoleum, part fortress, all arrogance and secrets. Marble pillars wrangled in scaffolding. A sickly generator glowed at the service entrance, its thrum irregular and anxious. Julia checked her phone. Power could quit at any minute. "We don't have time for a proper entrance." Her hand circled the recorder unconsciously, the ritual grounding her. Luca offered a crooked grin and deployed his folding rule, its edges dulled by years of farm fixes and engineering improvisations. "I spent a decade unwiring things down here," he murmured, fiddling with the lock until a last defeated click let them inside. Cavernous hallways swallowed them whole. Inside, damp stone chilled their sweat, and every marble step echoed twice as loud. Emergency lighting stretched down the corridors in warbled, amber streaks, the yellowed glow failing to touch the far walls. They tiptoed deeper. Marta took the lead now, part shadow, part ghost. She drifted toward the archive stacks as if pulled by gravity no map could show. Each breath of hers carried a hush, each step a silent assertion she wouldn't be lost in the maze of old power. Down three flights, they reached the map room, a bunker cut into Rome's bones, fire-lined and windowless. The security keypad hung limp, useless in the blackout. Luca squatted, fishing a pencil stub from Marta's pocket, scraping its graphite against corroded wires until the ancient latch surrendered with a metallic cough. Beyond the door, row on row of steel drawers, their pulls worn to silk. Julia checked a faded directory by flashlight until she found Canali, Hydraulica, Roma, Periferia. Her heart hammered for no real reason but fear. Luca opened drawer 32. The blueprints they'd hoped for, onion skin fragile, annotated in curling Latin, awaited them. By mutual, unspoken consent, Julia's phone illuminated the sketches while Luca and Marta laid the blueprint flat. It was a marvel. Carved arches, a primitive dynamo retrofitted along a Roman pipeline, and Marta's finger trembled over this, a thumbnail-sized Francis turbine sketched in an engineer's precise hand. Marta reached out, index finger exploring the turbine's swirl. Her lips parted, not to speak, but in a soundless gasp that danced between hope and disbelief. Julia whispered, "Could it work?" Luca traced the run with the side of his thumb, mouth pressed thin. "If even half of this is right, we could rig a microgrid under the old arches. 10 kilowatts a segment, maybe more." Julia scanned a corner of the design, her phone's battery icon pulsing. "History changing sides," she muttered, imagining her next broadcast. A high, metallic thud cracked the corridor. The sound of purpose, not accident. Boots, voices, sharp vowels slicing the hush. Two men, a certain chill in their stride, suits barely wrinkled, headed toward the stacks. Corporate by the glazed sarcasm in their footsteps. Their flashlights stuttered over the cabinets. "Posted breach at service doors, 7 minutes ago," one announced, his Italian so clean it hurt. "Check for digital footprints." Julia's hand shot to the scanner, shutting it off. Luca snatched up the blueprint, rolling it tight and slipping it into Marta's battered tube. Marta stood frozen. Julia squeezed her shoulder. They needed to move. They darted through the shelves, Marta at point like she'd mapped the place in a dream. Shelved ledgers gave way to a maintenance crawlspace. Luca pried a dusty vent aside. They slipped in feet first, knees bumping the sides, dust choking their breath. The hatch coughed them out behind a row of mop buckets, faces streaked with grit. Outside, a single exit sign blinked an SOS in dying green. They hustled, dark shapes at their heels, the agent's ballad clipped commands echoing through vents and corridors. They emerged into the courtyard, air heavy with pine and the copper smell of threatened rain. Night had dropped again while they ran, a trick Rome played to keep trouble guessing. They wanted to bolt, but voices closed behind. They fled down side streets, each turn tacking a race, Byzantine textures crumbling into brutalist utility lanes. Slick cobblestones nearly felled Julia. Luca grabbed her, fighting for balance, Marta darting ahead with the blueprint clutched close. Noise exploded ahead, flares, chanting. Rome had just netted a stoppage time goal, and the ultras of Trastevere were in full, smoked-out celebration. Golden smoke swallowed their alley. Confetti rained from third-story balconies. Chants hit earthquakes on every pause. "Ass! Roma!" The crowd surged, liquid and impassable. Behind, the agent's shapes slithered into view. Julia yelled, "Through!" and yanked Luca's sleeve. They barreled into the mass, becoming just three more bodies in the river of flares and laughter. Someone tried draping a scarf over Marta's neck. She ducked, squeezed Julia's hand even tighter. Beer splashed her sleeve. Nobody noticed. Inside the swirl, they vanished, hand in hand, until a bakery loomed. Luca shouldered the side door open. A wall of bread, racks cooling in overnight heat, greeted them, incense against panic. Marta's shoulders dropped. The bakery was refuge, if only for 5 heartbeats. They hustled through the back. The bakery's kitchen spilled into the dock of Ospedale Nuovo, the red neon cross just visible through the steam. Rain began again, sudden and sharp. They sprinted across slick tiles as the hospital doors hissed reluctantly open, battery weak. Inside, a blue wash of LED emergency lights painted every anxious fold of the floor. Alarms sounded faint and far, monitors clinging to their last wattages. A nurse stood guarding a cart of saline, eyes fierce despite the night shift's exhaustion. Olena, her badge red, dark hair tucked under a disposable cap, her accent thick on certain syllables. She took them in, a trio wild-eyed, breathless, blueprints poking from a satchel. "It's not the oddest emergency I've seen this week," she said dryly. Julia, chest tight, didn't try to invent a story. "We're running. They want this," she shook the tube, "for profit, not people." Elena's glance flicked to the agents melting into the shadows outside, then back at the kids. "Closest shelter's supply closet. 4 minutes. Nobody will ask if you belong. That's already broken here." Inside the closet, the air was bleach thick. Luca bolted the door as Julia hunted for a plug. The outlet blinked alive, and her phone blinked from zero to a fragile sliver of life. Luca's stomach growled audibly as he eyed the crumb-laden counter. He located a vending machine in the corridor, coaxed out 3 plastic-wrapped panini, and returned to divvy them up, sharing 2 napkins between the 3. It tasted like chewing insulation, but it worked. Olena entered quietly, closing the door with her hip. "Last week, power out for 11 minutes," she said in a low voice. "In NICU, we bagged a premature for every breath. Backup fuel padlocked. Director counting costs, not heartbeats." She shrugged, but let her hand linger on the door as if anchoring herself to memory. Marta unrolled the blueprint. Under the sickly LED, she pointed to the turbine, then imitated a spinning motion with her fingers. Olena nodded. Even language was no barrier to recognition. "Photocopier down the hall. Staff use only," Olena said. "But toner's old, and it sips juice from its own battery line. Just watch the door." She led them. The corridor was a tunnel of blank eyes and hospital perfumes. Julia ferried the tube. Marta trailed close, watching the blueprints feed into the copier, a mechanical hush broken only by the thunk-thunk of the paper tray. 3 copies, still smelling of ozone and old dreams. Olena tucked one into a glove box for her ward. "When the grid's back, send a picture. Ward 12 loves fairy tales. Maybe tell them the stars came too." Marta sketched a quick aqueduct, high over the city, studded with purple and gold. She pressed the napkin into Elena's hand. For a flash, the nurse's shoulders dropped. She became, if not hopeful, at least part of their escape. They slipped through a side entrance, Marta pushing a borrowed wheelchair loaded with blueprints and pastries from the bakery. Pavement still radiated with the afterglow of soccer riots, but the crowds had thinned, drums replaced by distant sirens. No suits in sight, only the city yawned after its excess. At Tiburtina, only half the concourse was lit. The old night conductor, hair mussed, vest half-buttoned, gestured them on without checking tickets. "Plenty of room at the end of the world," he mumbled, tearing a stub that would never be read. They collapsed into a 4-seat pod, pressed close by necessity as much as comfort. Julia tended her phone, 12% now, miraculously. She loaded 1 scan of the blueprint, tucked it into a hidden drive, then thumbed off the screen, resisting every urge to upload, to prove, to shout her discovery into the static. Outside, Rome ebbed away, a city of conflicting tides and 10,000 locked doors. The train built speed, steel singing along sunless rails. Iron rhythm carried them north, each clack another promise. Luca, drowsy, hugged the blueprint box to his ribs. Marta, head pressed to the glass, drew shapes in the fog left by her own breath, sometimes a star, sometimes just a question mark. Julia watched her companions, mind snagged halfway between fear of exposure and the bright, dangerous hope swelling in her throat. The city lights dropped behind. The valley ahead was black and waiting, thirsty for light, waiting for something old to flow anew. Kashina Basa Station was little more than a cracked platform and a single bulb fighting the mist. The freight that had smuggled them north groaned away, leaving Julia, Luca, and Marta alone with their luggage of blueprints and exhaustion. Luca squinted at his indestructible Nokia. 4:30. My ride's given up. Julia hitched her bag over one sore shoulder. Fine. We walk. her words rasped, the kind of dryness that tasted like too many overnight coffees and not enough faith. The track dissolved into hedgerows, then into sleeping fields still slick from yesterday's rain. Each step released the cold smell of wet soil. Marta's boots made syrupy squelches. She didn't laugh, but the rhythm almost passed for it. Dawn was only a gray rumor by the time the silhouette of Luca's farm surfaced. A chain rattled. "Chie," an older voice challenged. "Rosalia! It's Luca," he called. Hands raised. The gate swung open to reveal a wiry woman in a quilted coat, pitchfork balanced like a bayonet. Her stern eyes softened when they caught Luca's battered scarf. "You look half drowned," she scolded. "The barn's dry enough. We'll talk after you stop shaking." Inside the barn, goats blinked at the intruders, and the air carried equal parts hay dust and welding fumes from tools Luca had stashed months earlier. Rosalia tossed bedrolls onto a mound of straw, the motion practiced. "Coal stove's there. Try not to set your eyebrows on fire." They fell asleep where they landed. Julia against a beam, Luca flat on straw, Marta curled around the blueprint tube like a cat around a secret. When Julia surfaced again, sunlight knifed through a warped plank, spotlighting her cracked phone and Marta's maps. Outside, metal clanged. Someone swore in Umbrian. She found Luca in the yard, surrounded by neighbors and total strangers, all elbow deep in a junkyard miracle of pipes, cables, and possibility. "What happened to quiet and covert?" she asked over the hiss of a test arc. "Word travels," Luca said, lifting his visor. Sweat had carved tributaries through the soot on his face. "People are tired of waiting on Rome." Across the yard, two teens bickered over a netbook. Marta crouched between them, sketching a network diagram on cardboard. One glance from her, and the code behaved. The teens whooped as Wi-Fi blinked awake. Rosalia filed rust off an irrigation pipe. "If this fails," she told Julia without looking up, "at least we tried something louder than complaining." A goat nosed an extension cord. A farmer shooted away with carrot tops. Everywhere, small gestures pushed the project forward. A moka pot rattled on a camp stove. Someone stripped wire with their teeth. Kids used chalk to label breakers. By noon, the caravan moved to a ravine behind the vines, where a thin stream whispered through stone. Luca knelt in the water, bolting the first length of scavenged pipe to a horseshoe clamp. The welder's blue flash lit the mossy banks. Scorch smell curled into the breeze. "Duct tape?" a teen shouted. "Out," another answered. "Gum," suggested a gray-bearded mechanic fishing in his coat. The teen pressed half a stick over a leaky gasket, wound tape around it, and grinned when the drip stopped. They opened the headgate. Water rushed. The turbine shell shuddered. Then, rotation. Slow, stubborn, glorious. Luca touched the voltmeter. The needle twitched, rose, steadied. 6 volts, 8, 10. His voice broke like a new father's. Cheers ricocheted off the ravine walls. A laptop chimed as data streamed. Someone dab danced on the muddy bank. Julia caught the roar on her recorder, cold water soaking her boots, a grin splitting her wind-chapped lips. Afternoon blurred into a montage of sparks and shouted measurements. Marta produced fresh sketches whenever a cable needed rerouting. Her pencil seemed permanently lit. Julia drifted between crews, collecting audio, the drone of a generator, goats grumbling at strange light, the click of a moka pot boiling over. Yet every so often she glanced at the rutted access road. No sedan, no umbrellaed lobbyist. Just the countryside, pretending it had no interest in legal war. Dusk slid down the valley. Volunteers fanned out to the half-ruined substation. Luca's scarf was now tie-dyed with grease. He raised a hand for quiet. "On my mark, open the gate." Water surged, the turbine found its rhythm, and a yard lamp near the barn blinked, hesitated, then shone steady amber. Another lamp on the hillside answered. Gasps became shouts, shouts became laughter. Someone rang a cracked cowbell until the goats joined in. Julia's phone, fed through a jury-rigged USB line, jumped from red to green. she spun, catching faces glazed with disbelief. "Real power," she whispered into the mic, "born from scrap metal and stubbornness." Stew bubbled in a cauldron improvised from a tractor rim. Bread passed hand to hand, and for a moment the valley felt like the inside of a single beating heart. The courier arrived just as bowls were refilling. Black suit, mirror-bright shoes, not a speck of mud on him. "Signor Romano," he said, tone polished smooth. "Notice of injunction." The envelope glowed ghost white under the new lights. Luca read, jaw tightening. "They're freezing the land," he translated. "Unauthorized use of public water." Julia barked a humorless laugh. "Environmental concern from the people who pave hillsides in concrete? Classic." The courier adjusted his tie. "Comply, or litigation will be expedited." He nodded toward Marta's tube. "And those sketches? Soon irrelevant." With that, he walked back into the dark, shoes crunching gravel like a metronome. Silence followed, heavy, electric. Julia felt the barn lamp buzz against her eardrum, heard the goats chewing as if deciding whether the world was worse off than their hay. Rosalia broke first. "Paper threats don't dim lights." She tore a chunk of bread, handed it to Luca. Others murmured agreement. Julia raised her phone. "Then we tell the world before the suits rewrite the story." She glanced at Luca. He exhaled permission. "Live feed up. Battery, 31%. Chow from an unnamed valley," she began, voice low but steady. "Tonight water turned into light, and lawyers arrived to switch it off. If you're tired of blackouts and boardrooms owning the sunrise, listen up." Comments flew. Donations chimed like tiny bells. She ended the stream before the battery dipped, pulse racing with the scrolling solidarity. Around her, the hush thinned into resolve. Teens reorganized code repos. Farmers debated who knew a sympathetic lawyer in Perugia. Someone hung a fresh bulb over the stew pot, defying the injunction sentence by sentence. Night settled, clear and cold. The new microgrid traced the hills in shy constellations. 8 bulbs, 1 floodlight, a string of fairy lights someone found in a Christmas box. From the ridge, Julia watched the valley gleam. Below, the injunction pages fluttered on a fence until Rosalia pinned them with a boot. Marta leaned beside Julia, and after a long struggle with air and courage whispered, "Grazie per la luce." "Thank you for the light." Julia's throat tightened. "Stick around," she said softly. "We're only at the pilot episode." Luca joined them, eyes reflecting the scattered glow. The turbine's hum blended with night insects, imperfect but alive. Tomorrow would bring lawyers, maybe police. Tonight, the current flowed, and 3 weary hearts accepted its quiet promise. The orchard swayed, electric lullaby threading through leaves, over goats, around every stubborn, sleepless mind that had chosen light over silence. Dawn bled slowly through the valley mist, washing the barn in a grainy pewter glow. Over the tin roof, a rooster offered half a crow, thought better of it, and went quiet, outshouted by the low hum of the jury-rigged microgrid that had burned all night. Inside, the place smelled of singed dust, warm hay, and faint ozone where new copper met old wood. Julia and Luca were already at work. He braced a warped plank while she hammered in scavenged nails, the pair improvising benches from whatever timber the goats hadn't chewed. Hay clung to her jeans. His fresh shirt, a concession to formality, now wore a sawdust collar. Once every few minutes, his thumb brushed the gold band on his hand, reassurance as steady as the pulse of light over his head. At the wide barn doors, Marta sketched the arriving crowd, pencil hovering like a divining rod. Each newcomer earned a quick wave and a graphite outline in the margin of her pad. They came in bursts. Umbrian farmers with crates of late peaches, migrant pickers from Albania and Morocco, a teacher from the next valley hauling a box of chalk, 2 retired electricians trading jokes in foul-mouthed dialect as they strung another extension lead over a hay bale. Every accent in the barn bounced off the rafters. Even the goats, penned at the back, answered with half-hearted bleats. 1 centimeter from chaos, Luca murmured, unkinking a coil of cable. Chaos is underrated, Julia said, rummaging in her pack until she found the folded visa extension form. Blank stamp squares gaped at her, but the paper felt like a promise. She slid it into her notebook and crossed to the mic stand. Marta tapped her wrist, miming a volume dial. Sound check. Julia blew out a breath, flipped the toggle, and the ancient amp hissed like an offended cat. She rapped the grill 3 times, old superstition, then spoke. Testing. Unodo, unodo. Feedback squealed, goats scattered, and the crowd laughed it off. Hassan, apron already flecked with espresso, lugged in a stack of folding chairs. Important parts first, he announced, mixing tranny slang with street market French. Sit, drink, decide the future, preferably in that order. Elena arrived next, gray coat still smelling of hospital antiseptic. She draped a torn blanket over a lopsided chair and patted it so Marta could perch comfortably. In a corner, 2 Albanian cousins nudged buttons on Julia's battered field recorder until the red light glowed. Minutes later, they'd claimed the role of unofficial archivists. By noon, the barn was jammed. People on crates, on saddle stools, even 1 kid balanced on a feed bucket. High windows failed to vent the rising heat. Coffee, goat feed, and anxious sweat fused into a single sharp perfume. Rosalia banged a ladle on an enamel pot. Silencio. If you're not sure what language to shout in, try quiet first. She shuffled sign-in sheets the way a croupier shuffles cards. Hassan, pass those chairs. And somebody unplugged the radio, Madonna Mia, the static. The music died, the murmur settled. Julia stepped forward, visa form tucked behind the mic stand. Grazie. Some of you walked from the next hill, some rode buses for 5 hours. We're calling this an Assemblea Generale, an AGM, a barnstorm, whatever. Last night, a scrap metal turbine lit these bulbs. Today we decide if we keep them lit, together, or sell the valley to people who think electricity is a trademark. Low rumble of assent. Umbrian, Arabic, clipped Romanian, teacher bureaucrat Italian. Meaning floated above vocabulary. Luca took the floor, voice steadier than he knew. I've spent the season watching developers circle our vineyards. I almost signed once. He lifted the crumpled sale contract so everyone could see the faded ink. Not again. The co-op only works if every one of you can call me out when I get stupid. A stocky orchardist named Cesare hoisted a dog-eared ledger. Balance sheets don't lie. I've tallied water, yield, and kilowatts. We can pay our way. He slapped the book shut, punctuating his point. Right then, the barn doors groaned wide. In walked the developer's man, charcoal suit, mirror shoes, silver briefcase. Straw clung to his soles like an accusation. Buongiorno, he said, tone dipped in cologne. Regrettable that informal installations force us to intervene. Redirecting state water requires permits, expensive ones. My client is prepared to invest, relieve you of liability, and ensure continued heritage access. He smiled at Julia as though she were a faulty appliance. She smiled back, teeth sharp as tacks. Cesare shouldered forward. Liability is cheaper than your interest rates. Read the book. He thumped the ledger into the man's chest. Dust puffed, the goats sneezed. The rep flipped a page, unimpressed. Forecasts assume ideal harvests. 1 bad season and you default. Then what? A rasp of anger rolled through the crowd. Marta tugged Julia's sleeve, eyes huge. Julia knelt, voice low. Your call, Piccolo Comandante. Marta swallowed, turned, and let 5 shaky words find daylight. No illusion, if we team. Silence, absolute. Even the chickens outside went mute. The rep blinked, misfiring his next line. Julia rose, microphone in hand. You heard her. We're done selling silence. Her pulse pounded so loud she thought it might feed back through the amp. The man set his briefcase on a bale, snapped it open. Very stirring. But when regulation crushes you, remember I offered a lifeline. Luca unrolled the sale contract, tore it neatly in half, and let the pieces drift into the straw. Offer expired. What followed was less debate than river current. A single mother described the turbine keeping her child's nebulizer running through the previous night's blackout. Rosa, paint still under her nails, cast an AR aqueduct above the rafters, blue light arcing like a benediction. Olena relayed word from a lawyer nephew willing to file co-op papers for a spare mattress and a bowl of stew. A gangly teen promised a viral podcast. Podcast, not codfish, he shouted over the cackles that followed. Every sentence braided into the next. The developer's smile wilted. Luca held up a short charter. One agenda item. Do we found the Valle Oscura Energy Cooperative, yes or no? Rosalia chalked two columns on a burlap feed sack, black for yes, red for no. People queued, some signed, some thumbprinted in jam, one old shepherd simply drew a goat. A few abstained, hands shaky with uncertainty. 5 minutes later, the sack sagged under black marks. Rosalia counted twice. 67-4, 9 against. Applause rocked the rafters. A goat fainted theatrically. Julia felt her lungs finally release. She slid her visa form onto a bale, signed, and raised it like a flag. I'm staying, she said, voice hoarse. Marta scribbled a single word under a sketch of interlocking gears. Avanti. The rep closed his briefcase. Charming. The ministry will inspect. When fines arrive, call me. His shoes clicked to the door, the barn's chatter swallowing him whole. Outside, the valley simmered in late afternoon light. People spilled into the yard still arguing, about wire gauges, about who would host the next meeting, about whether Hassan's coffee needed more sugar. Luca's name was elected board chair by acclamation. He accepted on one knee beside Marta, promising rolling leadership and public ledgers. She, crimson with pride, agreed to be official record keeper, eyes already scanning for fresh paper. As shadows lengthened, extension cords flickered alive one by one, a lamp over the goat pen, fairy lights strung across the orchard gate, a floodlight that painted the ravine silver where the turbine turned. Cesare hammered a sign onto the fence, Aqua and Luch, letters crooked but bright. Julia, Luca, and Marta climbed the ridge behind the barn. Below them, the valley pulsed, a constellation stitched from secondhand bulbs and stubbornness. Hassan packed away his mocha, Rosa traced future pipelines in midair. Elena dozed against a hay bale, hospital pager quiet for the first time in weeks. Julia tucked her recorder into her pocket, resisting the itch to go live. Some moments needed breathing room before narration. What would she think? She asked Luca, nodding toward the vineyard. He thumbed his wedding ring. She'd pour coffee, tell us the wiring's a mess, and start planning harvest festival lighting. Practical saint, Julia muttered, smiling. Wind teased the vines. Marta opened her pad, set two quick sketches side by side, the barn packed with mismatched chairs, speech bubbles tumbling over dialects, and the same valley at night, dots of light connected by faint pencil arcs. Along the margin, she wrote, wobbly but legible, Finisce? O Comincia? Luca lowered to one knee, so he met her gaze. Comincia, he said. It begins. High overhead, the first star appeared. The turbine's hum rose to meet it, not loud, but certain. Around the valley, more houses clicked on, hesitant at first, then confident, until the hills looked stitched with their own brand new constellation, imperfect, homemade, alive. The darkness was still there, waiting. But now the valley answered with light. Thank you for choosing A Story Publishing.